What were your impressions?
Well, you know, it was really strange because my first impression of him was actually on the radio. I was just driving home, and I heard him call in to a show. And I marked down the name and Googled him and found this incredible presence online. And even, it sounds crazy to say, but 5 years ago, the Internet, certainly Twitter and these kinds of things were not as well known to us as they seem to be now. And so I hadn't seen a profile like that, and somebody utilizing that social media that way. And so I tracked him down, and I was reminded by a family member that I had actually made the comment over the phone to them that I was going to talk to this guy, and I didn't want to go see him in person. I don't quite remember that, but it does make sense that in the fact that I brought him into the Sun building on King Street. And when he walked in, he was kind of moving slow. I felt that he might be somebody that was, you know, under the influence of something, I suspected narcotics. He had sunglasses on, and when he took his sunglasses off, I thought his eyes were kind of far away or dancing, if you will. And, you know, he really wasn't, it's like somebody from a different planet, the way he was talking, and he wasn't all that coherent. But once the camera started to roll, he kind of pulled it together and put together a bit of an interview.
And what did he say to you? What do you remember?
Well, what I remember the most is he was really fixated on the notion that people had suggested that he had been dating Carla Homolka. I concluded, I don't know if it was accurate, but in my own mind, that it was some sort of an illusion that he had conjured up himself and perhaps it even spread himself on the Internet. We'll see if that's true. Perhaps now we'll know. But that's kind of what I thought, John, that, you know, he's making this up. But we went with it because I assume that the reason I brought him in was that if he had been in a relationship with Carla Homolka and I could nail that down, why was he denying it? It might make a great story for those of us that have been at the, you know, in the Toronto news media a long time. We've all covered the Bernardo story, so any angle is a good one. So, but what I found with him is it ended up going into this sort of sordid details of a very bizarre life and a very sad life, talking about working in porn and being a male escort and a male stripper, things like that. And myself and my colleague Veronica Henry, who is a photographer and videographer, we both felt kind of sorry for him and offered to get him some medical help, which he declined. He said that he had a therapist.
Geez, what was your reaction just in the last 24 hours when you learned it was the same guy?
I'm still kind of pulling it together, but, you know, it's one of these things where the BlackBerry goes off 15, 20 times in a row at once. And I just saw the name Luca Magnotta, and one of the first emails was from Ray Hurd, a former legendary newsman from Global, and he had read my column or remembered it or something. I'd forgotten all about it, but when I saw the name Luca Magnotta, John, I knew that something had happened because I'd never forget that guy. That was the strangest dude that I've ever interviewed, I'm pretty sure. Like that, you know, my Nightcrawler era, when I was out there, you know, on the streets every night, I certainly met some characters. But this guy really had a creepy thing to him. I didn't sense that he would be something like this, but I thought he could certainly be a danger to himself and, you know, had come from a background that was pretty strange. So, yeah, it really put the hair on the back of my neck to stand up when I saw that name yesterday.
Quick word on the call you got from the lawyer who tipped off Toronto Police.
Very interesting story, and I think that, you know, obviously they'll nail down the basics of this case, but the secondary part of this whole idea that something like this snuff video, an alleged snuff video, is posted in a mainstream way for people to see, and many people are watching it. I don't even think it's lawful to do that. I've looked up the criminal code. It's certainly a gray area, but one of the calls was from a man from Montana. Who was a lawyer there, works for the Crow Nation out there. He, on Saturdays, says he goes through this Gore website, and he likes to see what they post there. Not my thing, but, you know, I guess it's legal. Stuff, he said, from Al-Qaeda and all that kind of thing. And he ran across this, and he immediately phoned his local police service and then made another half a dozen calls. I have a list of all the places, Denver, Miami, and then he thought it might be in Canada, so he phoned the RCMP and he phoned Toronto Police, and he talked to five different people in Toronto Police, including a police officer. This is what he alleges. And so he's just blown off and laughed at, and not taken seriously. He couldn't get them to look at the video or take the link. And he felt that he was witnessing a murder and that they should get on it right away. And having some idea of Gore websites, he really believed it to be true, and he was blown off as some sort of an imbecile. I think it's serious. Toronto Police has not got back down. They've done a good job of getting stuff out today. It's not an indictment of overall Toronto Police, but I do think it needs to be investigated because it's a 4 or 5 day jump on this story. And if it was in their lap and they brushed it off, that's not their job, in my view. And as a columnist, I can say that. I think they should listen to people when they call in with tips.
Okay, Joel, thanks for joining us.
All the best, John. Anytime.